You turn with me now in your Bibles to Isaiah 35. Isaiah, the 35th chapter. I'd like to read the whole chapter as a background to our text, which is Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, in the thirsty ground, bubbling springs, in the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Now to Mark 10, verses 46, which is our text. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a few months ago I was watching a movie about the Depression. And in particular, this movie related the fact that during that time, many young people left their homes and began to wander all across the country. Some of them who were actually very well off left home because of a particular situation. That is, they wanted to find adventure. They wanted to find happiness, which they couldn't find perhaps in the wealth that was given to them. But then there was also other people who did not have this wealth. In fact, of course, during the Depression, many people were not well off. And many young people were in fact forced to leave their homes because there was no money for them there. Their parents could not support them at home. And so they boarded trains, many of them, and they began to crisscross across the country. They went east to west, and they went north to south, looking for food, looking for shelter, because they really didn't take anything along with them that would be of any substantial value for them. As physical beings, of course, they needed food and shelter. They needed water. They needed physical care. So we might say they were in a desperate situation. And this theme, as it were, is already present or is present in the Gospel of Mark. If we read through the Gospel of Mark, we see several occasions, a desperateness, a very physical desperateness comes amongst people. There are people looking for signs in the book of Mark. They're coming to Jesus and looking for signs, for miracles, for particular reasons. There are people who are pressing upon Jesus to be healed. They come up to him and desire that he would heal them, that he would drive away the demons, that he would heal them of all their physical infirmities. And in contrast to this attitude, where people are pressing upon Jesus, where they're asking for signs, they're asking for healings, and simply looking past what he is really there for, the ultimate reason why he is there, is a blind man who professes true faith in Christ. He too is in a desperate situation, but he professes faith in Jesus Christ in the midst of his desperateness. And I'd like this morning to see, as our theme is a desperate faith, to understand that and to see that or understand it in three parts. First of all, the background of this faith. Second of all, the object of this faith. And third, the effect of this faith. First of all, the background of this man's faith. We read, first of all, that there is a man named Bartimaeus, who was the son of Timaeus. This man was blind, and he sat on the road begging. Well, it's obvious by the fact that he was begging that he was not being supported by anyone. He had to earn his living by sitting on the side of the road and perhaps hoping that people would throw coins at him, and somehow that would be substantial, or that would be enough to support him for the week, or perhaps even for the day. And if we compare his plight, say, to the man who was brought to Jesus in Mark 8, verses 22, who is also a blind man, who was brought to Jesus in Bethsaida to be cured, if we compare his plight to this other blind man, at least the one blind man had someone to bring him to Jesus. But of course, he could not walk and see. He'd bump into things and he'd fall. So he had a man to bring him to Jesus to be cured. But we see that no one brings this man, Bartimaeus, to Jesus to be cured. We see in verses 46 of our text that Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho. So someone could have brought him, this man, to Jesus, but no one did. Not only were there a crowd around him who misunderstood what Jesus was there for on that earth, on this earth, but also the disciples who well knew of Jesus' mission. The disciples who were following Christ did not bring this man to Jesus. This man is in a miserable condition. And we might think just physically, just as humans, we might empathize with this person to say, who will care for this man? Who will give him water? Who will give him shelter? Who will give him food? And it's all the more depressing when we read in our text that he cries out to Jesus, and many rebuke him and tell him to be quiet. Now that word rebuke is used very often in the book or the Gospel of Mark, and is a very strong word. We see, first of all, that Peter rebukes Christ when Christ says he must go to the cross and die for the sins of his people. We also see that Christ, in turn, rebukes Peter as Satan for trying to stop him in his divine mission. We also read several times in the book of Mark that Christ rebukes demons. He drives them out by his rebuke, by his words. And the children will know in their Sunday school lessons that Jesus Christ also rebuked the winds and the waves. Jesus Christ calmed the wind and the waves, the storms, and he rebuked them with his words. And even shortly before our passage in chapter 10, verses 13, we read that people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. The disciples rebuked them. They rebuke those who bring their children to Jesus to be blessed. And so now the blind man is rebuked for crying out to Jesus. A very harsh word is spoken against him for even seeking to be healed, for Jesus to have mercy upon him. And the reason why is because the people thought, along with the disciples, that this man was not worthy of Christ's time. It was almost as if they had set up a timetable or a schedule for Christ. And he has to do this and he has to do that, but he doesn't have any time for this man sitting on the side of the road. Somehow the disciples and these people around Christ had conceived in their own minds what Jesus was to do or not to do. And these people's attitude also ought to teach us of our attitude towards others, towards unbelievers. No one is beyond the grace of God. No one is beyond the grace of God. We ever think about the way that we live amongst our non-Christian co-workers or family or others, just in our daily lives, those who we meet? And I know that the primary reason for conversion is for the glory of God, but we also think about the plight that we were in without the grace of God. That particular people who did not profess the faith of Jesus Christ will one day burn in hell. Those are harsh words. It's a harsh reality. But do we ever even think to share the gospel with people who desperately need it? Or do we be quiet and keep it amongst ourselves for whatever reason? This text shows us in one way that we have to have care for lost souls, despite our attitude or what we might think about a particular person. And then we see also the object of this faith that Bartimaeus has. Who is he professing faith in? This man with such a physically desperate plight calls out to Jesus. And as he hears that he is passing by, he hears and he says and he responds, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This is an incredible profession. He knows that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He must have heard it from the crowd. They must have been speaking about him, of his greatness, of something. And he knows that he's passing by. And he hears that it is Jesus of Nazareth, but he says, "Son of David." We read in Mark 11, verses 9 and 10, as Jesus goes into Jerusalem, and as the people assemble to praise him as he goes in on the colt, "Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" These statements here in that passage and also in our text of Jesus being connected to the kingdom of David, of being the son of his father David, are fulfillment of statements as those that are found in such places as Ezekiel 37, verses 24, where God promises that his servant David, although long dead, already in the grave, and his bones corrupted and eaten by worms, that man David, who was once king of Israel, there will be again a king of Israel in the name of David. Once again, the throne of David, in other words, will be established. Again, we read that there is a branch that shoots forth. And Bartimaeus is saying, here he is as he passes by. Here is the man who is the son of David, who will once again reign on the throne of David, establish it before us. This is an incredible profession because it's coming from a blind man, and more importantly, because it's the object that is Jesus Christ, who is incredible. This blind man, Bartimaeus, could not see Jesus Christ as he came by. He could not see his works. He could not see his miracles. He could see none of it. And if we might even think somehow rather shallowly that perhaps even Jesus might have had some kind of glow, some kind of essence around him that would tip people off as to who he was. There was nothing like that at all. Bartimaeus couldn't see anything. It was only by word of mouth that he knew who Jesus was. And J.C. Ryle notes that our faith must be like his. By faith in the Word, not revealed by sight. The text reveals the details as to the nature of the faith that he professed. It was in or by the Word in Jesus Christ. None of us have ever seen visions of Jesus. We have not seen miracles in the sense as they are revealed to us in the Gospel of Mark. We have not seen visions. We have not seen glorious revelations We have none of that. We are called to believe in God and His Word as we hear it and not by sight. That's what faith is. And of course, the object, again, that he believed in. It was not simply that he had faith in something that could not be understood, because Jesus Christ was tangible. He was right in front of this man. He was in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the object of his faith, as revealed in the Gospel of the Old Testament, as we read in Isaiah. And if you turn with me to Mark 1, verses 1, we see the reason why Mark is writing his Gospel. Mark 1, verses 1. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is not trying to impress us with Christ actually dispossessing people of demons. He's not trying to impress us with the miracles that Jesus does so much as he's revealing to us the Gospel about Jesus Christ. And see, this man Bartimaeus realizes all of that. He realizes that because he simply professes in Jesus Christ without even seeing who Jesus was or seeing what he had done. And we read in our text that he cries out to Jesus. He cries out twice. He cries out once and he is rebuked. He cries out again. He shouted all the more. He was more earnest in the light of the rebuke which was given to him, because he was sure that Jesus Christ was the Son of David, the Savior of the world. He would not be shut up because he was sure of his profession. And third of all, we see the effect of this faith in this man Bartimaeus. And yet we might question, was Bartimaeus' confession, was his due to his desperation and his condition, or was his real desire to have Christ as Savior and Lord? Well, we see in our text that Jesus, having heard Bartimaeus, he tells the people to call him. And Bartimaeus is called. The people say, cheer up, rise up, he's calling you. And yet it appears that Bartimaeus did not need such exhortation. It says that he threw his cloak aside and he jumped to his feet. There was no hesitation on the part of this man. He jumped to his feet, indicating that his Lord was calling him. This is his faith. This is the divine response. It is not hesitant. It does not wait for more information except the call of Jesus Christ, which we even hear from the pulpit Sunday to Sunday, and as we read in the Scriptures. He comes at the request of his Lord. He does as the disciples did. As Jesus went around Galilee and called his disciples to them, they simply dropped what they were doing and they walked with him and continued with him in his ministry. Our faith, therefore, must not be indecisive. It must not be wavering. Jesus Christ said, if you are not for me, you are against me. It's not a little bit for me, and maybe a little bit against me. We have to be fully for him, by his grace, in his kingdom, seeking to do his will, obeying his word, and being called by faith. And we see that Jesus himself responds to the faith of Bartimaeus. Our Lord asked him. The word asked should be translated responded, as William Hendrickson, Reformed commentator, notes. Responded. In other words, seeing such a genuine faith, the Lord asks Bartimaeus what he wants in response to his faith. And this is the blessing of believing on God. As we see in the Old Testament, Solomon, who is faithful to God, God comes to him and asks him what he wants and what gift he would have. Of course, God is not at our beck and call. He does not simply do what we require of him to do. But as the creator of the universe, as Lord of all, he has humbled himself to listen to us, his creatures, his sinful creatures, and to respond to the requests that we have in prayer. And we see in the context of this message, in verses 45 of chapter 10, he does this in Christ. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ did not have to come. He did not have to humble himself to the cross. But he did at the behest of his Father, at the commandment of his Father. And he came to serve and to be humbled amongst us, so that his Father's will would be done, and also that he would give his life as a ransom for many. And of course, Bartimaeus knows that the Lord can do all this. He's absolutely sure, as this was revealed in his confession, as also he says, "Rabbi, I want to see." Rabbi, or master, teacher, an honorary address given to Jesus by this man. "Rabbi, I want to see." This is another affirmation of the pure trust that Bartimaeus has. He knows Christ can make him well. He knows it because he's the Son of David. He knows that Christ is the one who is going to set the captives free. Because he is trusting in the promises of God, of the one who can restore sight and bring life to the blind. If you would turn with me again to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, the fifth verse. "Then the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, greed and reeds and papyrus will grow." Bartimaeus trusted Christ because he knew that he was the one who was going to set the captives free, the one who would heal the blind, the one who would make the deaf their ears unstopped, the one who would go forth from the wilderness after the temptation that he received from Satan and having defeated him would bring sin and bring all its corruption to its end because he is Lord, going forth in power, in the glory of God, in the gospel of God, preaching salvation, establishing his church, and gathering us here together as believers in his power. And of course, this is all strengthened by Christ's statement in verses 52 of our text. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight. The promises of God were fulfilled. Immediately he receives his sight. And he receives his sight by faith. His faith is apparent, not only to him and to Jesus Christ, but also to those who rebuked him, that they too may know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And it says in our text that he follows Jesus along the road. As Jesus left Jericho, he was going on the way to the cross. But it was not simply the physical road that Bartimaeus followed Jesus along. No, there's two deeper meanings to this way or this road. It is the way of Mark chapter 1, verses 3. The way of the wilderness. The way of the Lord that it was prepared by John, but also by Christ. Again, as Christ came to do the will of his Father and to be a ransom for many, he prepared a way for his followers to go along, to believe in faith in the promises of God. And if we turn back to Isaiah 35, verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10. It speaks of a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. There will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. First of all, Jesus Christ is going to the cross. As we read shortly afterwards, he goes into Jerusalem, and the people praise him, but he knows he's going to die, and he knows he's going to die for the sins for his people. So he comes as Redeemer, again, the one who is ransom for many. But also the way of holiness, the way of everlasting joy, the way of gladness, the way that, as Isaiah points us to, that wipes away every tear of every eye, that points us to heaven, where Satan will no longer bother us on the way, where our flesh will no longer get in the way as we seek to do the will of God and as we walk in His path. The ferocious beast, the jackal, all these elements will be wiped away. God has prepared a way for us, a way of salvation, which ends in glory by His grace. And we need the faith of Bartimaeus. And his condition points us to the weakness of human efforts. Because it wasn't simply that Bartimaeus was blind in his eyes, but that he was blind in his heart as well. Bartimaeus is a picture of the human condition which we are all born in and which we all suffer in, whether Christian or not. We all suffer under sin, and we are all spiritually blind, and we cannot see the way that God has prepared for us. And as we see in the Gospel of Mark, as we have also noted, there were those who mistook Christ's message. They wanted signs. They wanted healings. They wanted physical strength, like those people in the Depression who wandered to and fro across this country looking for food and for bread. But they didn't understand that Jesus Christ was the bread of life. In the midst of Bartimaeus' blindness, he perceived the Messiah. He had blindness, but he perceived the Messiah, the Savior. And the words of John 6, verses 44 come very clear in our minds. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. And no one comes to Christ unless the Father wills it. Because we are blind in our hearts. We don't have the ability to believe. So do we confess that you are spiritually blind as Bartimaeus was? Not simply his physical blindness, but his spiritual blindness as well. Do you also profess your desperateness, your need for salvation and for repentance, and your inability to save yourself, and that you have faith in Jesus Christ, who has prepared the way for us, the way of the cross, yes, of suffering and even of dying, but also of glory, which will be received when we enter into His kingdom? God calls us to faith in this day. May we hear His promises and believe them. Amen.